Today we are continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount. It is the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived. These are the very words of Jesus, and it's found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the longest section of Jesus' teaching in all the Bible. And we've been several months reading through it and studying it. It has been called Christianity according to Jesus, Christianity according to Christ. In it, Jesus tells us what he expects of his followers. And what we learn is that he expects a lot. Christ raises the bar of ethics and morality and behavior, and he calls us as his followers to live at a higher plane than the rest of the world. They should see our light and glorify God. We should live in such a way that we make a difference. How is it possible for us to live at such a high standard? And the answer is, it is not possible on your own. It's impossible in your own strength. No one will ever be good enough to please God. No one can live up to the standards of the Sermon on the Mount. So, how can we live at this higher standard? If I said no one can, well, the only way we can is to have a change of heart. The Bible calls it a regenerated heart, a new heart, creating me a new heart, a new spirit, a new nature. That only happens when Christ comes into your life and lives in you. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He wants to live in us, and he wants to live through us. No one can live the Christian life without Christ living in him. We just sang a song a few minutes ago that says, "Yet not I, but through Christ in me." The life that we live through Christ's enablement and his strengthening. And that's what we're learning from this great sermon, is that Christianity is Christ living in us, and us living for Christ for the world. We have to stop right there. Have you become born again? Have you had your heart cleansed? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you become a child of God? If not, you cannot live to the level of what we're reading here in the Sermon on the Mount. You must submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Only you can do that. I can't do it for you. You must choose to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, have your sins forgiven, and ask him to live within you, to change you. Now today, we're transitioning into the topic of prayer. We're going to see what Jesus teaches about prayer. He taught in the chapter before about prayer, about going into your inner quiet place, your closet, your prayer closet, and pray, and God who sees in secret will reward. So God knows when we pray. So prayer is obviously important because Jesus brings it up again in chapter 7. And I guess simply speaking, prayer is talking to God, talking with God. Just like we talk to people, we talk to God, but when we talk to people, we call it conversation. We talk to God, we call it communion. We call it prayer. What an amazing privilege to be able to talk to God. The God who created the universe, the God who sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to earth, you can talk to him. The Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ, we have access to Almighty God. If you're not a believer, you are separated from God. When you come to Christ, you are connected to God. Admittedly, prayer is sometimes a little awkward, especially if you haven't ever prayed out loud or if it's new to you, because, you know, God's invisible. It feels like we're talking to somebody we can't see, which is true. But we believe by faith that Jesus is real, that he hears us. Isn't that amazing that God is so great and so powerful that he hears every prayer of every person who's ever lived? That boggles my mind. Does that boggle your mind? Is he great? Oh, that's not even, that's not a sufficient word. Sovereign, powerful, almighty God hears your prayers and he answers your prayers. You may be saying, well, God doesn't answer my prayers. Maybe a better way to say that is, God doesn't answer my prayers the way I want him to answer my prayers. The reality is, God answers all prayers. One of three ways. He either says, yes, move forward, go for it, or he says, no, I've got a different plan. Or he may say, wait, and you'll be have to trust me to see how I lead you. Are we willing to submit to God's answers even if it's no, even if it's not what we want? But today I want us to get real honest about prayer. We know that prayer is a wonderful privilege. Amen? We know that the Bible encourages to pray. Throughout the Bible, it talks about calling on God, praying to God, to pray without ceasing. We're supposed to pray. We know that God wants us to pray. We read that God desires men in every place to lift up holy hands in prayer. God wants us to pray. We know that the saints of old were great prayer warriors. We know that great faith flows out of great prayer. We know all that, yet if most of us are honest, we find it difficult to pray. Maybe it's because we're so busy. We live in a busy world. Maybe it's because we don't know what to say, especially in a group. To pray aloud is very awkward. We don't know how to pray. Maybe it's because God seems to rarely answer our prayers. We go, what's the use? Whatever the reason, many of us neglect prayer. Now, you can say amen in your heart. You don't have to say that loud. The one exception might be when things get rough, when we hit a tight spot, then we drop to our knees and say, help me, God, I'm in trouble. Often our trials drive us to pray a little bit more. But my question is, do you have a regular prayer life each day? Not just when things go bad, but every day. Do we commune with God as a daily discipline? I admire those who get up in the morning and read the scriptures and pray every morning as a devotional quiet time with God. But sadly, many of us neglect that spiritual discipline. And as a result, many of us feel guilty about our weak prayer life. That may not be you. Maybe I'm just talking about myself here. I don't pray as much as I should. And to top it off, we hear quotes like I'm going to share. I'm going to share three quotes here. And they're supposed to encourage us to pray more, but they often do the opposite. They remind us of how inconsistent our prayer life is compared to others. How about this quote? Every Christian needs a half hour of prayer each day, except when he is busy, then he needs an hour. Well, thank you, St. Francis, for making me feel guilty. How about this one? I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer before I'm able to do it. John Wesley, amazing. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Wow. Is right. Now, don't get me wrong, I admire these people who can be on their knees for hours. James was called old camel knees. James in the Bible is called old camel knees because he's on his knees all the time. In communion, in prayer, these are the spiritual giants for sure. But most of us, I don't spend an hour in prayer. I feel guilty when we sing the song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I don't want to lie. Sweet Hour of Prayer? Well, today, If that's you, I want to address this because it's also me. I don't want to excuse our lack of spiritual discipline, but I want to give us some practical advice on how to begin a habit of prayer, a habit of prayer. I'm going to suggest a simple pattern for prayer that's easy to remember and easy to follow and may help us be more consistent in prayer. I've titled my message, A Pattern for Prayer. The disciples came to Jesus one day and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus taught them. We have it a couple of different places in the New Testament. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It's a wonderful pattern for prayer. And Pastor Jonathan taught a few weeks ago on the Lord's Prayer from the Sermon on the Mount. So we understand that. Today, we're not going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord's Prayer. I'm going to teach you another pattern for prayer. A very easy one to remember. And I'm going to simply use an acrostic for prayer. P-R-A-Y-E-R. One word for each letter. How easy is that? Six words total. And we will hopefully, it'll lead us into a more meaningful, structured prayer time. Now, it could be as brief as needed. 6 points you could do in 6 minutes. You could even set your timer. Say, I'm going to take P, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to go through each letter for a minute apiece, and you get 6 minutes with God. That may be a lot more than you've been spending with God, right? And then maybe you'll expand it more. I've been following this pattern for many years, especially when I ran. I used to run long distance, miles and miles and miles. So if I ran a six-mile race, I say, for this first mile, I'm going to start with the letter P, and I'm going to pray through what that means. The next mile, letter R. Next letter, A. And I would pray through these. If I wasn't going that far, maybe I'm on a walk, I'd say, between this telephone and that pole, I'm going to practice the letter P. Next two poles, the letter R. Next two poles, letter A. It's pretty easy because it's memorized. I don't have to have a notebook. I don't have to have a paper. I don't have to have a list. But it will help you have a more consistent prayer life if you will put these 6 points to memory. That's what I'm going to ask you today. I'm giving you a handle to hang on to so that no matter where you're at, you're driving, you can say P-R-A-Y-E-R 6 times. You can go through these words and pray. It's my hope that each of you will join me in following this simple pattern and see if it's helpful to you. So we're going to memorize these 6 points. Don't get afraid. It's easy. When you get the first letter, it's easy to memorize 6 words. All right, are you ready? Letter P. You've got a bulletin. In your bulletin, there are 6 points. Write these down so that you remember them for later. Begin your prayer time with praise. P, praise. Always begin your prayer time praising and worshiping God. Lift up your eyes and focus on God. Don't go right into praying your requests. Praise God. Jesus modeled this in the Lord's Prayer. He says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, holy, wonderful, awesome be your name. Praise God for who He is. That's how you begin your prayer time. Praise God for what He's done. If you love nature, and I assume you do, you live in Lake Arrowhead. As you see a sunset or a sunrise, praise God. Rejoice in His creation. When you see that little bird on the fence, when you see that little snake on the ground, praise God. When you're out at night and you look at the stars, do like David says. David says, that you created the stars. What am I? I'm such a little person, Psalm 8. Who am I that you would think of me? Praise is number one. Now, my method when I praise God is often to quote a psalm. Where's that psalm? One of my favorites right there. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. I literally say, I will lift up my eyes. I look at the blue sky. I look at the trees. I look at the mountains and say, God, thank you for creating this. I often sing a hymn. I love singing. I sing a hymn or a chorus, because you've sung them so long, you know the words, you know the tune. You don't have to be in church to sing. Praise God. Always begin, praise God from whom all blessings flow. That's the first letter. So if I say P, you say?
Praise.
Hey, we got it. Got it memorized. Number one. Number two, R. Repent. When we realize how great God is and praise Him for it, then we also realize how small we are in contrast. Repent means to admit your sin, admit your weaknesses, your failures. Come clean with God. You're standing in the presence of Almighty God. This is the time to humble yourself. Remember in Isaiah chapter 6, that prophet Isaiah got a vision of God on his throne, and there's angels saying, holy, holy, holy is God. And what did he do? He fell on his face in conviction. He says, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. When you get a picture of who God is in praise, then you're going to look inward and you're going to realize how wicked I really am. When Peter responded to Jesus the same way, he says, depart from me, for I am a wicked man. Depart from me, God. I don't feel worthy to be in your presence. So it's right and good to begin your praise, your prayer, by also repenting and humbling ourselves and admitting our faults. Written to Christians, we have this verse. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need a daily cleansing. David, a believer, said, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. We get soiled by life and by sin. So we praise God and we repent. P, what is it? R, A, ask. Usually prayer is all about asking. Well, let's praise God first. Let's repent. Now we're in tune with God. Now we can begin to ask. Let's look again briefly at Matthew chapter 7, our scripture reading. We notice that Jesus invites us to ask. He encourages us to pray. Is it okay to pray for your needs? To ask God for that? Well, of course it is. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. So yes, you can ask God for His provision, for His wisdom, for your family, for your friends, for your health. That's what prayer is. It's just telling God, I need you to get through this life. I need your wisdom. James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask of God, and He will give wisdom. So what's Matthew 7:7 say? Ask, and it will be given to you. Are we supposed to ask? So praying begins with praise and repentance, but also moves into asking. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. And then He promises to answer our prayers. He goes right on to say, for everyone who asks, receives. You receive an answer, whether it's a yes or no or a wait, you do receive an answer. He who seeks, finds. If you seek wisdom, you'll find the way. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Jesus uses three words to describe prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Now, coincidentally, the first letter of each word spells ask. Ask, seek, knock. Knock. We're to ask God. In the original language, these words are written in a tense that indicates a continued action. In other words, keep on asking. It's not just a one-time ask. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. So God wants us to ask. He wants us to pray. Now, why three different words? I believe they show a progression of intensity. We ask. We bring our needs to God. We make our requests. We seek indicates some effort. We're seeking for an answer. We're looking for God to mediate. We're looking for God to answer. We knock. That's maybe even more persistence. I guess you could say asking would be like this. Seeking would be like this. And knocking would be like this. There's a little more intensity there. God, I need your answers. I need your help. Do you persist in prayer, or do you just ask and be done? Do you seek and knock? Do you keep on asking, seeking, and knocking? As kids, we played the game knock and run. Anybody ever played that before? We'd knock on a door, pound on a door, and then and run and hide and watch somebody. Who's out there? Sometimes we approach prayer that way. We ask or we pray, and then we get busy and forget about it. Sometimes we're too busy or too lazy, and so we just stop asking. We stop praying. He didn't answer yet. I didn't do any good. I'm not going to pray anymore. Sometimes we fail to see God's answers because we're not looking for God's answers. What did that say? If you seek, you'll find. If you search for me with all your heart, you'll find me. There's some effort there. Sometimes we miss God's answers because we knock and run. I have a request, God, but I'm too busy to listen for the answer. Jesus is encouraging here that we persist in prayer, that we keep on asking. You like acrostics? I've given you two already, the word prayer. I've given you the word ask. How about this one? Push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. How about that? Don't just pray and leave. Don't just knock and run. Pray until something happens, till you get an answer. So we're halfway through our pattern for prayer. If I say P, you say?
Pray.
If I say R, you say?
Pray.
If I say A, you say?
Ask.
Ask, ask, ask. It's there in the scripture. It's okay to pray. Why? Yield. Yield. As we pray, we must always say and mean, your will be done, not my will. Your will, your way. I want your best. I yield to you. I submit to you. Whatever your prayer will be, I will trust you. Whatever your answer will be, I will trust you. God does not always answer in the way that we hope. So we have to trust that God knows what's best. We need to yield to Him. We must submit to His greater wisdom. God sees the bigger picture. He sees the future. We can't see the future. Aren't you glad that God didn't answer some of your prayers from a long time ago? He said no because He had something better for you. He will give us what we need, not necessarily what we want. An unknown Confederate soldier expressed it this way. It's kind of like a poem. Let me read it to you. I think it might be familiar. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly how to obey. I asked God for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked God for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked God for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel my need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything I'd hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men most richly blessed. That's what's called yielding. You pray according to your wisdom, but you yield according to God's wisdom. Let me illustrate this truth from Scripture. Remember Joseph in Genesis? I'm sure he was praying. When his brothers threw him into that pit, I'm sure he prayed he'd get out of that pit and return to his family. When he was taken off to Egypt and falsely accused of raping somebody, he was thrown into prison. Don't you think every day he was knocking, praying, God, get me out of this prison. Return me to my home. I've been unjustly treated. We find him in Egypt. I'm sure he prayed, Lord, I don't like Egypt. I like the promised land. Take me home. Take me home. Did God answer any of those prayers with a yes? He answered them all with no. Joseph never went back to his home. After he died years later, they took his bones back and they buried him there. He did not return to the promised land. He lived in Egypt the rest of his life. God had a better plan than he was praying for. Joseph yielded and was submissive to God. And as a result, Joseph saved his family, saved all of Egypt, because a famine came and God showed him how to curb this famine. And at the end, you know what he said? He says, brothers, you meant this for evil, but God meant it for good. That's yieldedness. That's saying God is in charge. When we pray, we must yield. If I say P, you say
praise.
R.
Yes.
Ask. Oops, A. Y.
Yield.
E. Expect. Expect. As we pray, we must expect God to answer. You're not praying on deaf ears. You're praying on a God who hears and answers prayers. He may not answer the way we want. He may answer no or wait, but he answers. Look again at chapter 7, verse 8. For everyone who asks receives. You receive an answer, whether you like the answer or not. Everyone who seeks finds. You seek God's will, he's going to reveal it to you. You seek God, he will reveal himself to you. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Let me tell you a general principle. We usually find what we're looking for. We usually find what we're expecting to find. Have you noticed that when you buy a yellow Volkswagen? You see yellow Volkswagens all around? You didn't notice them before. Now you're looking for them. What you're looking for is what you find. You seek, you will find. If you seek God, you'll find him. He will reveal himself to you. Rachel and I recently went to Disneyland with two of our granddaughters. Little Rachel. We call her Little Rachel because she's named after Mama Rachel. We don't call her Big Rachel. Grandma Rachel. She's 17 and little Madeline is 5. They flew out from Texas and we took them to Disneyland. And little Madeline, she does not like long lines. She was very impatient. You know what she wanted to do? She wanted to go back to the motel and swim in the pool. She didn't care about Disneyland. But she did find friends to entertain her in line. She found roly-poly bugs. This is Madeline, and that's a little bug on her thumb. She's dressed up like Moana. She had a great time there. I've never noticed a roly-poly bug at Disneyland, have you? She managed to find them in every line we were at. Everywhere we went, she's got roly-poly bugs in her hand. Why was that? Because she was looking for roly-poly bugs. You find what you're looking for. What you're expecting to find, you'll find. When we pray, We must be looking for the answers. They might be right in front of us. We might be walking right over them. Don't even know it. We must expect God to answer. Okay, the final letter. Let's go back through them. P, R, A, Y, E, expect. Last one, rejoice. Always finish your prayers with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Rejoice in what God has done. Review your life. The Bible does this all the time. They look back and they reviewed how God had brought them out of Egypt and how God had done these wonderful things. We need to look back and say, God, I rejoice that you've been with me. You will be with me forever. Rejoice in what God has done. Rejoice in what God is doing, even if it's a rough time. We need to be thankful in all circumstances. Rejoice in what God is going to do. He's going to soon, someday, take us to be with him. And we'll be over the hurts and the pains. So rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Begin your prayer with praise. End with rejoicing. All prayer is focused on God. It's not just asking. That's just the middle. Praise God. Repent. Ask. Yield, expect, and then rejoice, rejoice. So there you have it, a pattern for prayer that you can do. You can do this as you're driving. If you can't remember, you can write it down, but you should be able to remember it. Let's go through them one more time. Ready? P, R, A, Y, E, R. Now don't look down at your notes. Look at me. You ready? P.
Praise.
You got it memorized? R.
Repent.
A.
Ask.
Y.
Yield.
E.
Expect.
R.
Rejoice.
You can do this. You can have a prayer life. There's a 6-minute prayer. 1 minute each. 2 minutes each. 3 minutes each. Maybe someday your prayer life will grow to the point you spend a half an hour worshiping and praising and expecting and asking. And you'll gain that discipline that maybe we haven't had for a long time. Amen? Next week is Father's Day. Pastor Tom, where are you, Tom? Deitch? Dibler. Tom's not here this morning. Pastor Tom is going to speak about Father's Day. Tom Dibler. And then the following week, we're going to look at the golden rule, that is Matthew 7:12. So that's the next 2 weeks, Father's Day and then the golden rule. Let's pause, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word that encourages us to praise you and to repent and ask. And Lord, as we ask, we yield, we expect, and we rejoice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for a closing song.